Today is August 4th, and Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that your presence would be among us today, O Lord.
Yes.
Among us, those who are gathered here this morning, that your truth would become apparent, O Lord.
Yes.
That it would be expressed, O Lord, that we would have ears to receive that truth, O Lord.
Yes.
Oh, that your spirit would just flow amongst us, O Lord.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, that we would be built up and edified in
you,
Lord. And Lord, we ask a blessing on what goes on this afternoon, that there would be good fellowship, that your spirit would be here. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that the message that Keith wanted to have expressed today would be expressed, that it would be expressed in a way that even those running by would be able to perceive, Lord. And Lord, that there would be ears that are open to the truths, the big truths, not the small truth, the big truth that is expressed in that, and that it would sink in, that it wouldn't be, oh yeah, okay, that it would sink into our spirit, Lord, by your spirit. We thank you. We thank you for goodness. Say amen.
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 As I was sitting here thinking this morning, I realized that, you know, Jesus said that, God said, or both said, that he's going to make a new covenant with us. And the problem is, most people don't want to get rid of the old one.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, we got the law and the legalistic approach to Christianity, and that it's nice to hang on to that. And at the same time, God can do whatever God wants to do. And whenever men want God to stick by what they say are his rules, you know, that's what the Pharisees were doing. They said, well, you can't do this because God had it set up. This is the way it is. You have to live by it. And they were insisting that God live by their interpretation of God's word. And God doesn't have to do that because that was not his interpretation, that was theirs. And so Jesus says, the Son of Man, the Son of God, is also Lord of the Sabbath. And which dumbfounded them because they couldn't understand what that meant. But he could heal the sick on the Sabbath. He could do what he wanted on the Sabbath because he was in control of the Sabbath. And he said Sabbath wasn't made for man. Did I say that right?
Yeah, no, you said it wrong.
Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man.
Yeah.
And it didn't sound right when I said it. But people don't know that. Mm-hmm. People want to go by what, you know, yesterday's manna. They want to go by what they're used to. They're comfortable with. And so when God says, "I'm going to make a new covenant," people don't want to get rid of the old one. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They want to hang on to the old one.
I'm afraid I do know what that means.
Yeah, and the new covenant was that God was going to take and write his word on men's hearts, on their minds, and in their hearts. He was going to write it in men. And this was not what they were used to. They wanted to live by the letter, live by the law, whatever, you know, that they were used to. And you know what? That is unchangeable. Unless God changes it.
Mm.
People want to live by what they're comfortable with. You know what? The constant intake of God's word is not a comfort area. That's not comfortable. And I appreciated what I heard last Sunday and from Charlie and Jean especially, but that's kind of the story of just about everybody else that's here. It's like when we first started talking about listening to the Word constantly, it was uncomfortable. It was something that did not strike good with our inner person. You know, I don't want to do that. That requires something I don't want to give up. I don't want to love God with all my heart and all my soul and all my being. I don't want to do that. What good thing can I do to be saved? I don't want to have to go to that nth degree. And so when you take the Word of God and you start listening to it nonstop. See, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Did that change? Is that still the same?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, and it is, then to love God's Word is to love God.
Yes.
And so, if we're going to love God's Word, then are we going to follow, like God says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man, and actually that's neuter gender, you know, it's either male or female, it doesn't matter. Blessed is the person who delights in that Word. It's not delights in it, who delight is that Word. Whose main love is that Word. Blessed is that man. And God says, and that man will take this Word and meditate on it day and night. Is that kind of like listening to it nonstop? Is that in the same category?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what it means. And so, and then it says, and he will be like a tree planted by the water. And of course, we know what happens when a tree is by the water. The roots get lots of moisture. And the leaves never wither, and it gives us fruit in due season. Whatever this person does, he prospers.
Mm-hmm. Again.
Is that what it says?
It does.
That's what it says.
I might have left out a couple of sentences, but that's basically what it says. And so, is that promise? Now, we know that's not something we can, you know, blessed is the man. God is the one that blesses him. We can't take that and change it. That's an unchangeable statement. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
We can't say, well, I don't know if I can accept that. Well, you have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Scripture. That's mm-hmm. part of God's promise. And but we're comfortable with what we're used to. And so when it says, the new covenant I'm going to make, I write my Word on your mind and in your hearts, that's that comfortable. And I have come to the realization that what we are doing, I don't know if there's other ways of doing it, there possibly are, but what we are doing is one of God's ways of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Word is getting written inside of me. And you know what? The more that it is, the more I love it. And I think we're all kind of coming to the same position. I love God's Word. I love it. I love to listen to it. And to the point that it has become a music to me. And I wish maybe what I need is just music playing in the background. And so I put, when I listen to the Scriptures, it's all the music. But, and I love that, whatever, I don't know, it's not a CD player, whatever it is that Pablo came up with, that I want to call it by lots of things, but I guess it's a Bluetooth.
It's a flash drive.
It wouldn't matter to me.
No, when you were saying Bluetooth yesterday, I knew what you meant, and I didn't want to correct you.
What's it called? What's it called?
It's a flash drive.
A flash?
Flash or a thumb drive.
Oh, I thought you said a flash drive.
Well, a memory stick. Memory stick.
Oh.
Whatever.
But anyway, it works. I love it.
It's a digital device.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Shelley's in the market to maybe get one for herself.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's twice as much now.
So you'll be my go-to guy, though.
Yeah.
You don't want to go by my definition.
Google search on that comes up empty.
Yeah. But anyway, we need to pray that something good will come out of today. And I guess we already have, but whatever it is, God's got to do it.
That's right.
You know, you hit the nail on the head in a rather uncomfortable way here this morning, Keith, on our relationship with the Word. It's process. It's certainly not complete in me. You know, there are ways in which, I got some delights elsewhere, you know. But I don't, I'm a little concerned about it, but I don't despair, because it is a process.
Yes.
The Spirit is in it.
Yeah.
I know that. And we're nothing but clay. Mm-hmm. And but in His good time,
Well, Paul himself let us know that he had his shortcomings.
Right.
And I don't know exactly what his problem was John 7 or in Romans 7. Where am I at? Is it Romans?
Yeah, it's not.
Well.
Yeah, in Romans 7. But I don't know exactly what his problems were, but as we follow him in other places, I can see weaknesses in Paul. And he had a weakness when it came to the other apostles. It's like he made some statements in there, and it sounded like he said, or whoever they are, or whoever they think they are. You know what I'm saying? So he had some other, almost like some, not jealousy, but he was human, just like we are. And so we're going to have weaknesses, but Charlie hit it on the head. The thing is, we are in a constant change. And even though I'm 83, I can say that legally now, there is a constant, ongoing change that takes place in me. And I'm glad that I don't have to be condemned over the weaknesses and the failures at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence that God is going to change whatever needs to be changed. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's called faith. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a scripture. It's in Hebrews 11:3. It says, "By faith, through faith, we understand that the heavens were created by the word of God." But you know what? We can make that a complete sentence by just saying, "Through faith, we understand." If we can understand through faith that the heavens were created by the Word of God, we can understand by faith that we were created by the Word of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Through faith, we understand. That's a new thought pattern for us. The church is ignorant of it, basically. I don't mean to condemn the church, but people are not, they want to understand through some other system. Or, you know, like it says, through science, falsely so-called.
Mm.
But somehow, by the hearing of the Word of God, faith comes that causes us to understand. I understand things that I never was taught. But by the Word of God, I now understand. There's no other explanation other than the Word of God. No matter how we look at it, we cannot understand the whole created system and thing that we have. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a God substance to do it. So anyway, what does somebody else have?
I'll jump in. Good to be here, and again, I...
Nice and loud.
Oh, all right. It's good to be here, and I would be remiss to not tell you how much I love you all and appreciate your testimony. I feed off of them, and I appreciate that. I feel so close to you, and this has been my story for many years, but it still is the story. My dog and myself are also members. avid members, and a cup of coffee, and we feel... so much of everything that's going on, and you know how when I come every year and I get to see the grandkids, a year has passed, and you see the process, whereas you're seeing them every day and you might not see that gradual growth. Well, I see them. I was mentioning to Eli yesterday, it's been a few years, but every time I'd come out, we would see how tall he was. And then yesterday, in an awkward moment for me, I'm realizing he's significantly taller than me. I don't know when that happened. But the same thing happens spiritually with us. You see this growth that I see it. It just listening, I see it. And every single one of you, as I hear, and I know it's Barb's voice, or I know whose voice it is, and I can see you, and I get excited for what's going on, and you guys probably don't get to see what's going on in me from that distance, but you might remember last year when I was here, it was a couple times that I was here, it was at a low jaw point for me, and I couldn't understand. I think I was as frustrated with the lack of understanding as I was with the lack of having a job that would fit. And there were jobs, but the one that fit my training is what I couldn't find, and it just seemed to be so elusive until September 25th, last year, the day before my flight, I got a call, had an interview, and in a short amount of time, was hired. But this is what happened last year, was because I didn't have a job, and a new job, where they expect you to be there every day, I got to be here for a significant amount of time. I didn't know that at the time. So while I was busy being frustrated, what I didn't know is he was in control all along. I was looking at the wrong thing. My joy was in the wrong thing. My security was in the wrong thing. And my leaning on my own understanding was the only thing I was leaning on. Fast forward to today, I look back and I thank the Lord. So this is a totally different song than I was singing last year, but I thank the Lord for his mercy in letting me endure that, if that's what you want to call it. I didn't miss a meal, just so you know.
Yeah.
So when we're, you know, Paul's sufferings and mine are really on a different scale here. But that anguish that I felt, and here's where I have come from last year to this year, and this is what I'm seeing, is some of the things that, and I'm not there, but this is what I'm embracing, humility, you know what got to be really comfortable, is just asking for help, that's not easy, asking for prayer, being vulnerable. I had a lot of time to just sit and talk and fellowship and love and get on my knees. I was desperate. And the year before that, I wasn't. So desperation, hard times in God's economy. Really? Are we asking for Him to bring us out of the things that bring us on our, put us on our knees and need Him? And we get confused. And I often think of, you know, that scripture, being conformed. Finish it for me. Being conformed.
According to His image?
Yes, according to His image. And the verse that I'm really looking for, and I might have started the wrong one.
Be not conformed to this present world. Or not that one.
What I'm looking for is that His word, it's His word that transforms. That's what I'm looking for. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it's his word that floods us, that transforms our minds. We can get so busy scrubbing the outside of the cup. And when we look at someone, and this is another thing that I don't know why, some loved ones, friends and loved ones in my life that at times I just have had challenges with. And let me just put this out there. Rightfully so. is this the same place to make that? Yeah.
Oh,
it's not just me. Okay. All of a sudden, I'm feeling this softening and this kindness and this reality. I have needed so much grace. It gets easier to give grace as I'm very aware of how much grace I've been given by the Lord.
Yeah.
But you know what else? By you. By my husband. By people. People that I love and work with and live with. Who am I to decide? And many years ago, Dad introduced me to this verse, and he probably doesn't even know it. But it's Psalm 119.
7. Oh, don't. 119.
119. Great peace have they.
Oh, yeah.
Who love thy law. And you know what else? If you love his law?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Shall offend.
Shall.
Is that it?
Opinion. It is.
Okay.
And there are so many times when I felt offended over this, over that, that little thing. They looked at me that way, and then I interpret it, and off I go. I'm finding, and I'm not there. Back to that lump of clay. I'm not there. But I'm finding, I'm not harboring that. And that is what I'm finding. The word, I want the word to take the place of that harboring.
Amen.
Yes. And letting that go. And yesterday morning, Carol called, and she has, it's the sweetest thing. It's just a testimony to what God has done in her. Mm-hmm. When she answered the phone, there's been an affection that wasn't there at one point. And now she says, hello, little girl. Mm-hmm. And that's her affectionate, endearing name, hello, little girl. And telling me how much she loves me. And you know how, I look back many years, and that wasn't the case. Here we are today, and this is what I see, is a woman that has been loved, and then loved, and then not reminded of what we didn't do right. Loved. 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 And now there's someone who is just feeling loved. And is that a testimony? I see that as a testimony of love. And I'm feeling that. And I don't know. Somewhere, if that, I just don't know what God is doing with that, but that is something inside of me. I'm just feeling like my scorecard of wrongs it's just erasing, just erasing. And I'm not there, but that's a big thing of what can I do to create peace? What can I do to create that place where anybody from anywhere that wanted his word, that wanted to seek truth, this has to be that safe place for them. Mm. It can't be, well, let's see, who's gonna do that? Who's gonna stand at the door and decide? I won't be there. But it's that awareness, you know? And that's just something that I appreciate as I hear and talk to you, and I appreciate that. But that's one of the things that just I can tell that something's happening. And I can't pinpoint it, but I know that that's part of it. But it's that'll sense. And did it take last year some of the stuff that happened? I don't know, but I know that it's a process, but it's the word. I want the word, and I want the truth. It's his word more than I want to protect myself. From wrongs. Or to make sure they're all corrected. I don't want to do that, but there was a time when that was a little bit more my go-to. So
that's forgiveness.
That's what forgiveness does.
That's what forgiveness does. And we can't hold both. We can't hold pure water and tainted water in the same vessel.
Yep.
You know?
You know, Skeeter was saying something about the guys in Romans 7, not the guys, Paul in Romans 7, saying that he's trying not to sin, but he does anyways, and no matter what, it's not perfect, we're trying to make ourselves better. We do need to try to make ourselves better, but I think there's a gray line. We need to put an effort to try to make ourselves better, but we won't be better unless God does it himself. And I could almost be a bad thing to try so hard to be better that you're going to forget God in a way. I am by no means, I'm not saying, like Paul said, hey, should I keep sinning so I have abundance grace? No. But Jesus does say, and again, I am not encouraging you to not get better or sin, but Jesus does say there is more rejoice in heaven for a sinner that repents than for a righteous man that needs no repentance.
Right. Yeah.
So, yes, let's try to be better, yes, but, you know, more than trying to be better, don't forget to repent for when you aren't. Let's repent, and we may never be perfect. We may never overcome some of our issues, earthly issues. But you know, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And God does not need you to be in perfect condition to come to him. No. That's a big lie. It's like, oh, you get better so you can come to God. No. Come to God like you are, full of sin and dirty. That's what he wants you, and he will show you to repent. To repent, and then there's rejoice in heaven. And I'm going to repeat, I'm not encouraging you to sin. It's not good, but it could be a fine line where you are trying so hard to be so good that you can almost get God out of the picture.
That's exactly right, Tom.
Fine line.
Be open to what?
Fine line between. Doing it naturally and doing it spiritually or whatever, like Shelly was saying, working so hard on cleaning the outside of the cup as opposed to hearing the Spirit and letting the Spirit do a work in your heart, whatever. It's something Christian practice. Finding out where it works. Because you can just try really, really hard and you're nothing but dead man's bones. You know? White and sepulchre, things like that. So it has to be an inside work.
And we were talking on Tuesday about the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are, you know, love, long-suffering,
humility,
blah, 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 blah. But you know what? It doesn't say, and you will stop sinning.
No.
You know what I mean? You will always be a sinner. You will always have issues. So being a fruitful person does not make you a person that does not have sins in their lives. In fact, the Bible says, he who says he has no sin deceives himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, not because you have sin means that you have not close to God. Not because you sin means that you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I do know that you will sin a lot less, I believe. You will be better. You will sin less, maybe, or whatever you used to, and I'm like, Paul, I mean, he stopped killing people. So you will have sin, but...
I was going to say, but you got there. It's almost misleading to think that you can get perfected by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
No.
It's only through God.
Right.
So, you can't work your way.
Mm-hmm.
So, redemption,
yeah.
Redemption, and then continuing. It was Romans 12:2, which is what the scripture that Shelley was mentioning. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by being in the Word. Then you will be able to, I want to get to King James and say it right. Then you'll be able to, that ye may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. Not that the other translations are good.
It is, what is God's part and what's our part is always it's a difficult thing. One thing that I think is our part, except to the extent it's God's part, but it's to recognize
mm-hmm.
your own sins,
yep.
recognize
yep.
your own shortcomings.
Yep.
You know, it was funny, Shelley referred to the scorecard. And I know that scorecard. I'm familiar with it. I believe it was the work of the Spirit. I believe that I had received an invitation from the Lord to throw that scorecard in the fire and have it consumed. And turn the whole thing that I was keeping score about, turn that over to the Spirit. Turn that over to, mm-hmm. turn that over to God. You know. The natural man wants to give the slip to our shortcomings, our failures, or we want to go, pass that one. To slow down on that and start being aware. That was really a thought that was born of resentment. I don't want to harbor that. Lord, burn that thing up. I think that is to extend our part.
Yeah.
You know, the advantage we have over people that don't have God's word is like, the word is light. Jesus is light, right? And it shines, and it says, and light shines in the darkness. It's kind of obvious, we don't know that. But it's shining. But see, the advantage that we have is that because we have this light, we can see what the problem is.
And then,
so then we can repent and come to God. But the world does not have the light to see. So they can repent. They think that that's fine, see? And but the Bible does say, God, he knows how many hairs we have. But you know what? For as good as he is, when you repent, he says, and I will remember your sins no more. I'm like, how is that you know all my hairs, but you don't remember my sins? But you won't remember your sins. If you are, that's a big one.
Charlie, you're saying, I get that, throw the scorecard away, and I think that's true, once you've repented.
Mm-hmm.
Repented for what's on that scorecard, throw it away, because he's forgotten about it.
Yeah.
So you should stop. do not by the law and keep bringing it back.
Because then you can't pick it back up.
Yeah.
It's all burned up.
Just go in there, Jesus.
Okay, good.
Jesus made two different statements that I thought of as we're talking here. One of them, he says, the kingdom of God is within you. And then he says, the kingdom of God comes without observation.
Right.
And it's almost like it's a... There's a problem, you know what I mean? If it's in you and it comes without observation, certainly you can't see it happen. But you know what? You can't see it happen. Except you can see it happen. Because as we're looking at one another, there's a change in you guys. And it's on a weekly basis, but it's without observation. I don't really see it take place. At the same time, it is taking place. I had something happen last Sunday. Jeff and Chuck and I went out to eat. And as I'm sitting there, we had a phenomenal service last Sunday. And as I was sitting there, the Spirit of the Lord came on me, like in days past. And for about a half hour, I was just shaking. And I couldn't stop it. I didn't want to stop it. I knew what it was. And I thought, you know, we're going to be experiencing stuff like this. And we have had it happen in a church in the past, and we kind of rejoiced in these things. You know, all this, I'm just so glad that I could feel the Spirit, whatever else. But it's kind of like what Jesus said, you know, when the disciples said they rejoiced because the Spirit were subject, the demons were subject to it. And he says, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I felt the Spirit, but you know what? That's not a reason for my rejoicing.
Mm-hmm.
My rejoicing is that God is letting me know what He has in mind. And I have, it has been in, you know, I don't know how many people realize this, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't advertise it, but this birthday party basically is my idea. And because as 3 John 4 became a major verse to me some time ago, and that's why I had those pictures made. And Matthew 18:3 also became one of those verses. And this is a big one. The birthday cake and the whole thing of this party has to do with a verse. But that verse is not isolated. It's not by itself. It has many, many helpers. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit compares spiritual with spiritual. When you get into the Word of God and the Spirit begins to enlighten the Word, He compares this spiritual verse to this spiritual verse with this spiritual verse. After a while, when it says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free, after a while, the Word of God itself, being truth, starts to make you free. And that's a major thing. Well, anyway, Matthew 18:3 says, unless, you know what? When you see the word if in the Bible, pay attention. It's only two letters. But when Jesus says, if you continue in my word, that's a major thing. If you are in me and my word abides in you. If. And when it comes to it, it says, except or unless. This is like, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You know what I mean? It's a something that you can't just sit there and say, well, big deal. It's not a big deal. I mean, yes, it is too a big deal. Unless you become converted and become as little, not become, don't be little children, but become as little children, like little children, you shall in no wise entered into the kingdom of heaven. Should that tell us something? You know what the Word of God has been doing to us? A handful of people, but you know what it has been doing? It has been putting us backwards. I don't know if Chelsea got the message, but I said I want 8 candles on the cake. Because I'm about 8 years old. I'm 83 in the flesh, but 8 in the spirit. I'm about the age of some of my great-grandkids. And I was telling Shelley, I got a little birthday card from Lennox and from River. I said, you know what my favorite cards are? These. Those are my favorites. Because it is coming out of the heart of love, sincerely. I love it. And I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I had a really good talk with Shannon. I don't know what her married name is. Shelly, you know, from where does she live?
She is over like near Spokane.
Oh, okay. And Spokane, Washington. And I used to, she lived across the street from us, and she kind of adopted me as her dad, and Joanne as her mother. And anyway, I talked to her the other day, and it was an encouraging, enlightening, wonderful conversation. You know, God is doing a lot of things in a lot of people. But anyway, I don't know why I said that, but all that... That people would be receptive and open to that verse.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not just that verse. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus says, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. And then you know what he said? For so it seemed good in your eyes. Do you understand why God hides things from the wise and the prudent? Because God is so awesome and so beyond our greatest intelligence that He makes us look the best that we have look like dummies. That's who He is. And so He says that no flesh would glory in His presence. That's who He is. And I'm beginning to recognize the God that has created all of this. All He said was, let it be, and there it is.
I wanted to share a small illustration on the kingdom comes with no observation. In Mark 4:26. Anyways, and it's one verse or two. And he said, so the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, but he knoweth not how. So you go to bed and then you wake up and you see the thing is there, but you don't see it grow. But you see it when it's grown.
But almost every parable, especially the parable of the sower, has to do with the Word of God.
Right.
The Word being in you. Becoming. Yeah. The Word in you becoming something. In you becoming.
Yeah, and how the Spirit moves is, and we have about as much understanding of that as they have. Mm-hmm. With the biological processes of seeds germinating and growing into a plant and so forth.
We don't know how.
You know, it just
And so
it kind of happens.
Through faith we understand. Mm-hmm. 3 verses later it says, without faith it is impossible to please God.
Okay.
He has designed faith, which works against intellect.
Yeah. And how does faith come?
By the hearing of God's word.
You just a setup gal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what God has done is an awesome and wonderful, wonderful thing. And he wants us to kind of catch to pick it up. I am so thankful. You know, when that happened to me 20 years ago, and I heard a voice, and that said, you got to look for me where I am. And then what happened inside, I knew what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, you've been listening to men, now listen to God. If you want to find me, you got to listen to me. And anyway, and what a change has taken place in you and in me. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that do not have a relationship with God's Word that are going to be here today. There's going to be a few people that I've never met. And I'm not even sure why they're here, but except that God has put them here. Mm-hmm. So I stand behind somebody and go like that. Maybe you turn. I've just turned you loose.
I mentioned before, I saw a bumper sticker one time, and it was phrased really well and concisely. And I'm not going to be able to come up with it. I feel bad about that. But anyway. The message of it was, want to hear from God? Read the Bible. Do you want to hear from God? Get an audio vision version of the Bible.
Really? You saw it on first?
Oh. Yeah. It was, you know, that was what it was saying.
You
know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. But, you know, people in the world want to, you know, they're...
I have a picture, I think, at the house. In the first section of it, it's a two-part, you know, top and bottom. On the top part, there's a fellow on his face with his hands up, and he's saying, Lord, speak to me. And the second picture on the way down, it shows a hand from heaven with a Bible in it.
Well, this morning I was listening to this Sunday morning TV preacher, and the key word he was preaching on was encouragement, you know, and so it got my attention, because a lot of things we see here is encouragement to somebody else, and I thought, you know, that's a very nice word to use, encouragement, because, you know, somebody out there is going to hear something sometime, and it's going to open their eyes, and they're going to be encouraged to go ahead and go farther.
Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we saw in the first Corinthians 14 that it says those that prophesy speak unto men to edification and to exhortation and to comfort. And that's what that is. That's encouragement, you know. You're comforted.
I know I've been encouraged. I've been encouraged by... I routinely am on Sundays, Tuesday nights. Just encouraged by it.
Well, and we all need it sometime or another in our life from other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. Right. You know.
Yeah.
I was reading this morning, I opened my Bible and it came to Matthew 13:13. Not in the hall, it was going to fit in, but it's the parable of the seed planted on rocky ground. And this is
I had underlined this part. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And then it goes on further, and it says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So it depends upon our hearts.
Yeah.
And you get down to it.
Mm-hmm. It's a strange, kind of a strange thing, because most of our understanding of the word comes from the word. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Bible tells us in like in Psalm 19:7, it says the word of God is perfect. Well, what's saying that? The word of God is saying that. Mm-hmm. The word of God is perfect, converting the soul. And you know what? Because I have seen as little as the little bit that I've already seen, I know that that's the truth. And so, one of the, you know, when I was told 50 years ago to tell my loved one something, I know what it is. They might not listen to me, but, you know, I told somebody that one time. They said, well, they didn't, when you heard the voice, it didn't say you were supposed to make them believe it. Just tell them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, when Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones, which represented the whole house of Israel, all he said was, hear the word of the Lord. We don't see anything else. He didn't say, go find a good preacher someplace. Go find, it didn't say that. Just tell them to hear the word of the Lord. What really is our mission today? Tell people, hear the word of the Lord. And I'll tell you what my conviction, or whatever it is, we have all of these wonder Bibles, and they have been advertising all over the nation, everywhere. I don't think the devil was behind that. God has done that himself. If a lot of the church wants to do their own thing and they want to believe whatever they want to believe, God has said, I will find the people who will hear my word and will believe it. And I think it has to do with those that are in the highways and the byways and where, you know what I'm saying?
You know, the thought came to me yesterday, and I would welcome input, or what is the word, correction or whatever. But, you know, okay, the word of the Lord. So, the word is, you know, what you speak. So we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that's, but if you take the red letters, that's, you know, what Jesus spoke. That's, you know, maybe let's say 10% of the written Gospels. And then we got the Old Testament. And most of the Old Testament, a great majority, is an accountant of what the prophets did, right? Very little times, you know, we see, and God said this and that and that and that to the prophets. Anyways, we're trying to get at it. It's like, I'm just going to focus on Jesus. I don't know. But okay, so Jesus, he is, in fact, the Word made flesh. So there's nothing in Jesus that is not the Word. So, I don't know. But the Word of God is not only what Jesus said, but also his actions. And what he did was the Word of God. I always wonder what really the Word of God is. So the Word of God is not only, this is what I'm trying to say, that the Word of God is not only what Jesus said, but it's also what Jesus did. That is the Word of God. And now I will, if anybody has anything to say on it, like Pablo, I think you need a little bit straighten me out, I will be welcome it.
Okay.
It's just a thought that just came yesterday. I always kind of have that wondering. And then yesterday I said, you know what, what he did is also the Word of God. You know, because so here the Word of God, so what, just the red letters? Or just when it says, and God said to the prophet this and that and that. No, you know, because the steps of Jesus were directed by God. So Jesus did what he heard, which makes his actions the Word of God. Just like the prophet.
Well, I think you're right. God spit on the dust and made clay, and that's good, Pablo. I like that.
Yeah. I think he did the works of God.
Hmm?
I think it was the works of God that he was doing.
Right.
You know, and somewhere in there, I still kind of think he maybe had his own mind on things too, that he might have done himself, you know, because he was the Son of God. But he did, I would say, 99.9% of the stuff from God. But somewhere in there, I think he made some decisions on himself, but I can't ever find them. And I could be wrong there too.
Well, I think an example of what you're saying there, Glenn, is when he was talking to the woman at the well. And he told her, go bring your husband. My theory is, at that point, he thought she had a husband. And then she said, well, I have no husband. And at that point, the Spirit made it come out clear that what the situation was. But he didn't, at the time he said, go tell your husband, or go get your husband, Of course, I don't know. You're right. We don't.
Yeah, you know what?
I mean, that's consistent how the Spirit moves.
I don't think that Jesus would be facetious when he said, go get your husband. Sorry, show you. I'm going to tell you. I don't. I think he didn't know then. And because Jesus actually, his steps were led. Go get your husband. And that's naturally what you would say, but. Yeah, the revelation would have come later.
Yeah.
Immediately after.
3 seconds later.
Right.
But then on the other hand, he could have said that as a way to test her to us to how she would answer.
That is a possibility, sure.
No.
But he was he was flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Although it would be perfect, he was still flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he had his own thoughts.
There's a lot of questions that are not going to be answered.
No.
But his thoughts were so in tune with God that...
I think that's an answer.
I wish I was that way.
And the two examples I would cite was the when he first changed water to wine.
I was thinking of that too.
And let's not forget the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he clearly was looking for God to do something different. But then said, but if it's your will, this is what I'll do. So he was doing, not only was he saying, he was doing God's will.
Yeah.
So those are two that I thought of right away.
See, but okay, so you want to not only hear the Word of God, but you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do the Word of God, then you are the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus heard the Word of God and then did it. If you're, I suppose, if you're directed by God, you're being God's Word.
In a way, that's what James was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can say it, but you have to live it or do it right.
And react to it. You can do all these works. God's works. It's hard, but it's actually easy. No, it's hard. But it's good. That's what it is. It's easier. It was easier to be raised in the Lutheran church, and they told me all these things, and I just had to do them. And I could have quoted you a lot of scripture. The Missouri Synod Lutheran Church taught a lot, but it was just easier. It it didn't, I didn't do anything. I had to count on someone else. And you know, I didn't do, I was introduced to having a born-again relationship with the Lord, being filled with the Spirit, and I just fell into the same thing. I had these teachers up here that told all this stuff, and I really had to do any inside work, and that is why it's better to come as a little child, so that you know, you know, I don't have to be smart enough, I don't have to be good enough, I don't have to have learned this, 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 and this. I just have to come as a child and let, and then he who has the ears to hear, he can learn to hear what the Spirit says, you know, which it's God's word, but it's God's Spirit. I don't know. I'm just going to babble around here. Anyways, it's better. It's for me, I hope for everyone, it's better to just be as a child and have God teaching you, not
striving,
not, but it takes responsibility away if you just put it on people above you and you just, you know, but it has to be your own thing. I'm going to be quiet.
I'd like to just not only enforce what Jesus said, but maybe go beyond it. She said it's better to do it. In John 8, or in Matthew 18, it says, unless you do it.
Yeah,
that's right.
There you go. Yeah, right. All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless you do this.
Sure.
There's a scripture that says, where God says, my thoughts end ways. Is that what it says? Or what is it? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
My ways are higher than your ways.
Okay, so the ways, without getting back to I wasn't sure what the other word was, but my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your thoughts, or your ways, mm-hmm. higher than the heavens are above the earth. Now, wouldn't the ways be the thing that he did?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's why it makes us, the entire gospel message, whatever we see there, it makes it all essential.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus said, I always say what the Father tells me to say, I always do what the Father did. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
I always do what he tells me to do. Mm-hmm. And so, and we don't really understand or appreciate the greatness of God, not realizing God can do that in an instant. And if Charlie was right in that, would he, it's a, who knows? It's like Glenn said, I mean, we'll probably never know. You know, how are we going to ever know? But the thing is, maybe he didn't know until that instant. How fast is God?
That was Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
There you go.
I think that's quoted in.
So at least you didn't make that up. I mean, I found it.
I think it's quoted in the gospel somewhere.
Keith, you were talking about you know, the valley of dry, Ezekiel and the valley of dry bones. And it struck me, you know, all he did was say, hear the word of the Lord. That was it.
That's all he said.
But all these things happened. You know, the bones all started to come together.
Why?
And they started moving, and they developed flesh.
Why did it happen?
Yeah, right.
Because they heard the word of the Lord.
He didn't express the word of the Lord. He just gave instructions to hear the word of the Lord.
And so
and that was a life-giving instruction.
My thought is that would always be up to date.
Yes.
Hear the word of the Lord. Not the word of man. Hear the word of the Lord.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Because I'm rambling it all around.
And that's a message that we should have in our hearts right today.
Amen.
Just hear the word of the Lord.
Ask in your hearts.
Don't listen to me. Yeah. Listen to God. And I have one of the best illustrations ever, which is in the fourth chapter of John, where Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria, and she said, "Well, I know the Messiah is coming." And he says, "I'm him." And so she left and went down to Samaria, and she told people, she said, I found the Messiah. He told me all things that I've ever done. And so they followed her back up to meet him, and they talked to him, and they talked him into coming down to Samaria for a couple of days. And after he left, here's a statement that he made, that they made. They said to her, they said, "Well, you told us we believed, but now we really believe. You know why? Because we heard him ourselves."
Mm-hmm. They listened. Mm-hmm.
What happens when you hear the scriptures? You're hearing him yourself. That's what took me a while, but after a while I started to get it. We're starting to hear from God himself through Jesus.
Mm. Every time the Holy Spirit talks, we hear from God himself.
Yeah. So, is it a mystery? Yes, it's a mystery. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy, it says, "Great is the mystery of God." Yes. Great is anything about God. It's a mystery. God is a mystery. God is everywhere present. He's a spirit. He is spirit.
That's right.
Thank Ken Betcher for that. He got me straightened up. The only place that it says God is a spirit is in the King James. All other translations say God is spirit. Everything came out from him. Glory. Well, let this, I can really feel it, the Spirit of the Lord, I just feel the presence. Let that just, that's the word, permeate.
Settle in.
You know, everywhere today. What's that mean, Charlie?
Sink in. Be made part of you. Permeate.
You know what? I know how to use it. I wasn't sure what it meant.
Well, you used it right. So maybe I was dumb luck. But
I figured Charlie would know. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I love you guys. Maybe more than you'll ever know. And you know what else? I love everybody that's coming, even if I've never met them. Because that's what God is doing in us. Like, what is the fruit of the Spirit? What's the first one mentioned?
Wow.
Love.
That's right.
Fruit of the Spirit is love. I think peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. You know, but after a while, you don't have anybody you don't like. And I say, God, put your blessing on everybody that's here. I saw things in a dream in Seattle. I don't even know what I saw. That's over 50 years ago. Shelly was maybe three.
Let's stick with that.
Now you're getting in deep water.
Yeah. I got in deep water yesterday.
Want to revive this thing about you get wiser with age?
I was over to Brittany the other day. I guess this could be on the tape. And there was a friend of Brittany's there to help her do something. And Chuck came in, and she said something about Chuck. And I said, "Yeah, Chuck, he's a real nice kid here." I said, "Except he's mostly Norwegian." And she says, "Well, so am I." I said, "Open mouth, insert foot." You know what I mean?
We love you.
End on that note, huh?